Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Just Get Started podcast. I'm your host, Brian Andrako, and thanks again for being a part of this journey. On today's episode, I welcome in Christian Altuve, who is the co-founder of Dance Motion Marketing. He and his team are reinventing how dance studios can grow more easily and with fewer headaches. And you can find all their information on their website at dancemotionmarketing.com. And I've known Christian for several years. We used to meet up for coffee when he lived here in the Carolinas. So it's really neat to see the growth that they've had over the last several years, because I remember back when they were struggling to start, and he shares that whole journey, how he transitioned to entrepreneurship, how Dance Motion Marketing started up, how they got through a lot of the, you know, potholes and pitfalls that early businesses tend to do, and how they've been able to scale the organization to where it is today. So I hope you all enjoy this conversation I had with Christian. And without further ado, please welcome in Christian Altuve. Christian, welcome to the podcast, man. Good to have you.
So pumped to be here.
Pumped to chat with you again. I miss our coffees when you were living in North Carolina, and we got to chit-chat about business and life. So we'll have to do it virtually, but hope to come out there sometime soon.
Yeah, I'll be in town probably end of July, so I'll hit you up when I'm there.
Oh, please do. That'd be a lot of fun. Because I'm really curious about, and that's what I want to talk about today, about the business side. I was thinking, like, man, we can talk about marathons and running, but that might be our whole conversation if we get down that rabbit hole. So I'm going to temper myself and talk about business here, because I'm really impressed by when we met, again, even though the last several years, and you were kind of building business out, you were still, I think even when we first met, and I know we met through the Next Gen community and folks there and stuff, but when we first met in person, you were even still ideating, was this even the right idea with your business? So to see where you're at now, it's incredible growth. So congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's go back then. Let's kind of connect the dots here to present day. Tell me about the idea, one, about entrepreneurship in general, your thoughts on that, like wanting to do your own thing, and how you sort of got into this, what is the current agency, Dance Motion Marketing, based on what you're doing before with video production and some other stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, back in 3 years ago, North Carolina, when I was sharing, that was like day one of what Dance Motion Marketing is now. But that was like year eight of me trying to figure out this whole entrepreneurship thing. And it took that long for me to find a path and a niche. And now ultimately what's become an agency that's growing fast. We have a team of six people serving 70 clients from that day. But up to that moment, for me, I think growing up, I always was creative. Photography and videography was always like this big passion of mine that carried me from elementary, from the moment I got my first camera in middle school, when SD cards were only like 12 megabytes in total size, making videos. That passion carried me throughout high school and college. And it was in college when I started, like, I took like an entrepreneurship class as an elective, and the idea has always been there in my mind. But I didn't really see it as an actual viable path for me until I got into corporate America, and I had a really great job in software consulting, landed at a really great company that already had work from home perks before that became the new norm after the pandemic. But that is when, for me, I started realizing the drive in me to do more, and kind of like feeling stuck and constrained in a corporate job. Like, just me as a person, I'm like a very bountiful, energetic, outside of the box person. And I could tell after my first year in a corporate America, like, this structure wouldn't be able to contain me, because I was side hustling, doing video projects, taking on freelancing things on the side. And that was like very early for me of me pursuing my own thing that wasn't like a job, so to speak, like getting my own clients and trying to develop skills and market value with my own business. So that was like the very beginning for me.
Do you feel, going back to the corporate America thing and like kind of being stuck there, do you feel it was, and maybe it's both or just something different, but like challenged, like not being challenged enough with the role, or not seeing anything like ideation, trying to make change, but like change not happening because there's so much bureaucracy, were like some of the pillars that kind of ultimately made you, or did you see something else there that was bothering?
It was something else. Because I, the company I was in, it was about a couple hundred people, but I had a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities. Like I didn't feel constrained in being challenged. Like it was a very challenging, fulfilling place to be. I think for me, my burning desire to take a leap, and I'm a big risk taker, I guess, that just started growing bigger and bigger. Like as I got better at my video production skills, as I started getting more clients, I started realizing, wow, what would a life look like to be paid for something that I'm actually passionate about versus to be paid for something that I can pretend to be passionate about? And I think that's what began to overtake me. And one year when I wanted to make this happen, it was like a year before I left, I wrote on my whiteboard. I was a big visualizer journaler at the time. So I wrote on my whiteboard, 1 year from today, I will be making a living doing what I love. And over that year is when I started kind of like planning, saving money, trying to be more proactive and getting my own clients, just because I knew, wow, I am going to jump ship no matter what. And I want to at least have some kind of a base or foundation before I make that happen.
So you kind of put a I reference off often. I had Mike Lewis, who wrote the book When to Jump, on the podcast, and about this, like, setting the as much as you can. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but kind of setting up, hey, I know I'm going to leave at this point, and then putting those almost, I guess, helping stones, if you will, stepping stones in place so you can make that leap. Is that kind of what you did then? And would you share kind of anything you did specifically? Like, did you have a financial number in place? Did you?
Yeah, it was sort of like that, but more haphazardly. So, and I ended up having to make the jump earlier than I had planned. So I ended up doing it maybe at month 8 because our company got acquired and I wasn't quite ready because I wanted to have 6 months of saving. That was my goal. I was like, I want to have 6 months of savings that includes, living expenses, food, whatever I need to like give myself 6 months of runway to make this thing happen. That was one thing, one of my goals. Another goal was building up my network and a client base to try to have some kind of income, and I wasn't starting at zero. So I didn't have a hard number on the income side, but I did have a hard number on the savings side. But fate had other plans for me when I was visiting a consulting client in Orange County, California. But the day before I was supposed to fly back to Chicago, got a big company-wide email saying urgent all hands meeting. We mandatory. I'm like, I'm gonna be in a flight. I have no idea what's happening, but I kind of had a weird feeling about it. And when I landed in Chicago, I had text messages from my manager saying, "Hey, our company got acquired. Please call me ASAP." So I called him. He told me, just giving me a heads up, like clients are getting fired due to legal reasons. There's huge layoffs, but I'm fine and you should come into the office and figure it out. But I had PTO planned that day, that whole week. So I got to like witness the chaos of what was happening in this company, of an acquisition, of hearing the stories of our leadership team saying, "Hey, we're never going to sell the company. We want our employees to be here forever," to now all of a sudden realizing all that just crumbled before my eyes. So I'm like, am I really safe here? And that's kind of having that PTO planned and this all happened gave me like, it was like wild how the timing of this, because it gave me the space to like think about what I want for my life and seeing, am I really stable here in this job? And the answer was like, no, no matter how much a company promises you, you have to look out for yourself. And so that was when I really decided I'm not following along with this merger. I'm not taking the salary raise to our new corporate overlords. I'm using this. This is like my window that I used to jump ship. And I was not prepared enough. Like I probably had 4 months of savings. This was like 4 months ahead of my goal. But I knew like I was always been on the seat of what was it you just said? Make the jump.
When to jump, yeah, like,
Like when to jump.
yeah.
I felt like I had been on the edge of like the high dive board for like months and I was just giving myself excuses to stay on the platform. But this was finally where I'm like, all right, Christian, you're gonna jump and I don't think you're ever gonna be ready. So just jump. And that was the window that I took to make that leap. And they gave me the offer and I said, nope, I'm leaving. And that was my last day. And
Wow.
I'm glad I did it. It was wild though.
What was the next day like?
The next day was incredible. When I woke up, I didn't have to commute to work. I had the day after I left, I probably had 3 months of the most high energy, life I ever have gotten. I really savored life, like being able to wake up on my own time, not have to report to a boss. Like it was like this very rose colored period because it was so fun. I had all this free time. I was doing things in the middle of a work week that I'm like, wow, it feels like illegal to be just enjoying ice cream at 1 PM on a Wednesday because I'm not in an office getting jobs done. So that was like very exciting, but then it quickly set onto me, wow, I have to fend for myself now. And that honestly began the beginning of a very long and grueling, stressful period of my life where it took me those 8 years to make something of a business that was viable to keep me afloat. So while it was very fun, the reality set in very quickly. And I realized like, okay, I have to get to work because if I land a client today, I won't get paid until a couple months from now when like a project is complete. And so the reality really began to quickly set in, and the fun of it kind of evaporated shortly after that couple month honeymoon phase of quitting a job.
So what was the first kind of idea or business? Was it video production? Is that what you were doing or anything else for clients?
Yep, it was video stuff. I was trying to find clients that I loved. So I loved sports, I loved athletes, I loved food. And so I was trying to pick up, you know, videos for farmers market vendors, videos for like physical trainers, like really everything. Like I did videos for like nonprofits, small businesses. I began to like, when it became associated with me earning a living, I honestly started taking any job I could at that point in time. So I reached out to anyone, but it was all around video production because that was the skills I had at the time. Hey, I can make a great video that you can use to promote your brand online. And that was pretty much the skills that I was trying to build a business around.
How close were you to going back to corporate?
Super close. So I probably broke even and barely got by for years and years. The pandemic happened that wiped out any opportunity I had for in-person work. And so that's when I realized I can't afford to live in Chicago anymore. And that's when I moved to North Carolina, where I got to meet you in person because I had to move in with my mom. I couldn't afford rent. And I barely had any client work there. So that was the year where for me, I'm like, it's either I make it or I get back and get a job. And that winter of 2020 or 2021, I actually started taking job interviews because I was like, I don't think this is happening. I felt pretty demoralized because I had spent 7 to 8 years trying to make it work around the video business, learned some things about digital marketing. At that time, I had like 2 dance studio clients trying to get that off the ground. And I was just the fatigue of trying for so many years and reaching, you know, 30s. And I'm like, okay, I clearly have tried. I gave it my all. Maybe I should start looking for a job. And I was taking job interviews too, because I was my business partner at the time, Bryce. He'd been trying with me for a year to make this dance motion marketing thing happen, but it wasn't really quite going the direction we wanted to. So I was seriously considering 3 years ago getting other career opportunities.
What do you think was the, what was like kind of the big, what was missing, I guess? It's working now, it seems. What was missing? What did you have to change?
So we started Dance Motion Marketing, just to kind of give some backstory. We learned that they're an industry where it's small mom and pop, you know, business, mostly owned by a female who had started this business as a passion. Now they realize they have a business of it, but they need a lot of help with the social media and the marketing. We thought, you know, at the very beginning, you know, we were like, okay, let's help them with video. They want video, but many of them couldn't afford the video production budgets we would need to have a business. So I had learned over the pandemic a ton of digital marketing skills like Facebook ads, how to build landing pages, funnels. So we thought, okay, let's try to do a boot camp. Let's teach them how to do this stuff. We started realizing, hey, client, these people need this. They need help with their marketing systems and they really loved our content. But that didn't take off because we learned they don't have the time. While they love the information, they don't have the time to implement themselves. And so after trying to land video clients in the dance industry, trying to land, you know, DIY marketing information clients, we realized, okay, if they don't have the time, but they need this, let's just do it for them. And so then we started putting together offers to do the dance marketing for them. And that's where they're like, wow, you would do this for us? Yes, please take my money. So we're like, okay, we got something here. And we started taking on getting more clients like that, doing the marketing for them. We grew a little bit through word of mouth and referrals. But at that early stages, we were still not the best at doing what we were doing. And so we weren't able to keep our clients either. So around the time when I took job interviews, we had been putting, we had given it a year to try to create a problem and a solution for dance studios to grow their business. We had like 3 to 4 clients trickling along. I was like, Bryce, he's my partner. I'm taking job interviews. I don't think I can do this anymore. And something, when I took my first interview with an old coworker for like a digital marketing position at a company, it gave me some validation and confidence in what I was doing that no one had ever given me before. Because when you're an entrepreneur and you're doing that this by yourself, you're so deep into what you're doing, you don't get the feedback like you do in a corporate job where you may have a manager who's telling you you're doing good. And so I always focus on what I'm doing wrong and all the problems. But for the first time in my life, someone was like, wow, Christian, you have this skill, this skill, this skill, this skill, this skill, this skill, this skill. It gave me some validation where it gave me this boost of confidence where I'm like, you know what? Why am I giving up right now? I haven't really put all myself out there. And so Bryce and I gave ourselves like 90 days to be like, let's just go all out. Let's do all the things that have been fearing us, holding us back, like cold outreach, cold calls, cold email. For whatever reason, I had fears around doing that because I don't know if I believed in the value I was providing. But after that call, it gave me this wind in my sail. And we're like, you know what? Who cares what people think about us? Let's just go all in and just try to reach as many people as we can. And sure enough, in those 90 days, we got from 3 clients to 10. And that was, our goal was 10 by March of 2021 to make this thing viable. And we ended March with 12 clients. And so that was like the beginning of like, okay, this thing is real. It's viable. Now let's just improve and keep trying to repeat what we've been doing the last 90 days.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm trying to remember, I think, I want to say with the last time we had coffee, what's it like February of that year? It was right. I remember you talking about, hey, we're trying to get to, get to March, the end of March. I remember you're almost there. Like you were figuring it out. So it was probably within a month or two of you reaching that March goal. So I remember there was some momentum going. We can go down a few rabbit holes here. Let's stick with, well, I want to start with, let's go to Bryce. Let's go to your why decide to do this with someone else? Like, what was the ultimate reason there? Because you had done this, right? Was it prior to Dance Motion, you were working with him on some stuff, right? And then you transitioned. Remind me on that.
So we never worked together. It was just one of those connections from my roommate, Hayden Humphrey. At the time, he met Bryce through networking. And then he's like, hey, my roommate, Christian, also does video. Because Bryce, he's also from a video production background. Yeah. So we just connected and we hit it off after our first call. And we just were a couple, like 2 guys doing our own video production things that we would meet, you know, every other month just to catch up for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And then that was before the pandemic. That kind of happened. We lost touch. He had a new baby. So like life just separated us. And then on the other side, we kind of just got reacquainted. And by that time, like my first client after the pandemic was a dance studio who needed help with videos. So I was filming their testimonials and this. So she was like my first little case study out in Joliet, where I did some videos. I built a landing page. I ran some ads and I got something kind of working, but I was barely making any money from it. And when Bryce and I connected after the pandemic, he was like, you know, we're just like, what have you been up to? Catching up. And then I was like, yeah, I have these couple of dance studio clients, but I think I'm going to abandon it. I'm not really sure there's anything there, but he saw something. He was interested. He goes, wait, you have 2 dance studios. I'm like, yeah, you did a video for them. I'm like, yeah. And now you're saying you're doing their ads for them. I'm like, yeah. And they're paying you every month for that. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that I think from a video production world is like a breath of fresh air. Cause as freelance video production people, you mostly get one-off clients. It's very hard to get a client to rehire you again for more work. Once you do one video for them, it's like, okay, you got to go chase the next client. And so the fact that I had 2 clients that were paying me a small amount every month was like appealing to him, because a recurring business model is, I think, what a lot of people aspire to be, because you get a client once, and if you keep them, they pay you predictably every single month. And after I shared with that with him, he was interested. I didn't know how interested he was until a week later, he surprised me with a website, dancemotionmarketing.com, with just a beautiful website with a logo, colors. Here's our service. Like, I was like, Bryce, this is really cool. What does this mean? He goes, I want to work with you. I'm like, all right. So we just, from that point on, just like, I asked him, like, okay, how much can you commit in the next 90 days to try to make this thing happen? He goes, I'm all in. Because his video production world was also crumbling after COVID. Mm. And so that's when we kind of just tried to work together. And let's just see how many studios we can get in front of and see if we can offer and create something of value to them. So that was like the very beginning of meeting Bryce and trying to do something. So I didn't look for, I wasn't looking for a partner, but it just felt like a really right time to work with someone and not just keep doing this by myself.
How did you decide early on, or maybe you're still deciding, like splitting up duties, being able, like which roles are you going to take on? How did y'all decide that?
At the very beginning, it was even, we showed up and did everything together. So we wore all the hats. We did sales together. We did marketing together. We did fulfillment together. Now with a team of six, we realized we need to get our roles straight. And what's helped us is this book, Traction.
I've read it. Book. Great book. Yeah.
It's got the EOS system. And so after reading that book, we realized I'm well suited for the integrator role. So me making sure that all our departments are running, you know, building the systems for our team to run. And then Bryce is really naturally fit for the visionary CEO role. You know, he's taken on a lot of the sales, helping out with the admin finance, building the big relationships with our big vendors. And then or big partnerships, and then also helping lead the team while I'm kind of doing the integration role, like helping make sure all our operations and client experience is doing as it should. So we kind of naturally fell into that, but that wasn't until the last 6 months. So for the first couple of years, we were like, we did everything together. And I think we just naturally, through working together in such a fast paced environment, we naturally began to see like, okay, you're good at this, I'm good at this. So we started. Eventually, when we got enough clients, I couldn't be on sales and Bryce couldn't be on the fulfillment side. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take fulfillment. You just keep taking the sales and building the business. Mm-hmm. So it just naturally started to deviate and split up the responsibilities in that way.
How did you get to the point? This question comes up a lot around like hiring that first employee, getting that first staff member in there. Like, when did you feel like you're at critical mass where you couldn't do it, just the two of you, or maybe some freelancers or something?
That's a good question. I think when I am I'm a yes person, I'm a big helper, type 2 Enneagram. So I tend to say yes to things, even if it means self-sacrificing myself. So it wasn't until maybe at about the 12 to 15 client mark where Bryce was like, hey, Christian, you seem pretty burnt out. And if we don't take care of you, then there's no future for this business. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I had heard from Bryce that I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, I'm taking on way too much. I'm burning out. You know, I'm getting sick from burnout. And so we need help. And at that point, it started with a VA that I trained from there. But that was like, I think for me, how did I know? Is because I was taking on more work than I could physically handle. And it was deteriorating my mental well-being and my health.
Well, how did you know what role too? Because that's always a challenge with the ego of like, oh, wait, this is my thing. I'm gonna get this work done. Like no one else could do this but me. That type of, and maybe you don't have that ego. I'm just saying that's generally a lot of folks have a hard time giving that up.
Yeah, you know, I learned a lot on YouTube. I wasn't really quite sure, but I think I would just try to find frameworks on YouTube. Like there's like the Eisenhower Matrix that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the delegation one or not, but I think I just,
yeah, you have the four, the 2x2 quadrant. You have the not urgent, importance, urgent, not.
Yes. Yeah. Stuff like that helped. And where I would just be like, okay, what's taking up all my time right now and what's getting in the way of me doing the next thing. And a lot of that came down to, you know, simple things like we do Facebook ads for clients, getting the data of their campaigns, writing the Facebook ad copy, putting together the ad graphics, So that to me was like, I can train someone to do that. I've been doing it myself. And so that felt naturally for me to bring on help that was not client facing. I think that takes a whole lot of work, but I was at least someone who can do the doing for me. So like while I'm meeting with the next client, they're putting some of those pieces together. So that's just the fulfilling of the service is where we ended up finding needing to hire first. So that way we can't, Bryce, we had to kept telling Bryce, he'd be like, hey, Christian, I kept telling him, stop selling because we can't fulfill them. Well, he goes, well, as a business, we got to sell more. And so I'm like, okay, well, we need more help to do the work. So that way we can sell to more clients and take on more clients. So I think that was really where the bottleneck was. So that's where we dove in first to hire that kind of help.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to give up sales that are coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And Bryce was very frustrated because it was like, okay, we're ready for the next 10. And we would go out all in to sales. We'd get more and I'd be like, okay, stop. We're overwhelmed again. And there was, you can't do that as a business. You always need to be selling. And when you turn that off, like you don't realize how much further down it impacts you. So we realize like we need to build our team and systems in a place where we can always be marketing and always be selling and bringing in new clients.
Well, you mentioned and going from like the couple clients you had and then having that goal to 10 and then now obviously at 70, what has been the best vehicle for sales for y'all? Is it referrals? Is it going out to trade shows? I don't know. Like what have you found is like the best thing?
At the beginning is referrals. I think that is the strongest type of growth a business can have. Like if you make a good product, you make your customers happy, you make it easy for them to tell other people about you. So that was how we got to like our first 30 to 40-ish clients. Then we started getting noticed in our industry. We started getting invited to speak in webinars and other organizations. We had some conferences that we got invited to speak at. That's when I think we really started noticing it's putting us on the map. And then more recently, so I guess stages one from 0 to 15 clients, it was all cold outreach. Us putting out, finding email lists, going into Facebook groups, looking for them. Then from about 15 onward, we started getting referrals. We would ask our clients to go, hey, you know, you have friends, don't you? They're like, yep. And like, send them our way. So we made like a referral program for them to incentivize them to go reach out to people. And then that's when we started getting noticed, started doing more webinars and workshops and actually speaking at conferences for dance in the dance industry. That's there's tons of those in that industry. And now more recently, we are doing our own advertising. So we're doing our own Facebook, Instagram advertising, and that has been taking off in the last few months. Because now we have the budget for it and we can invest in our own marketing. And as a marketing company, it's really awesome to say, yes, we run our own ads because we believe in it. Before,
yeah,
it's just for a marketing company not to do their own advertising, it's kind of like, well, why are you offering this in the first place?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What is the cold outreach when you did that? Was there anything that hit? Like what was the value prop that you were sharing? Was it through emails? I'm assuming not calls. It was more email related, or did you actually call?
It was emails. Emails and scraping people on Facebook groups. But our value proposition, it was just a free workshop. Like we're marketing experts. You dance studios need help with marketing. So we just kept trying to invite people into a free, we call them like power hours, where we just have an hour on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And whoever we can get in the room, we would get there and then just do like either a little marketing presentation or just do feedback. So like we would have our clients like, hey, who's running Facebook ads? Who wants a critique on their ads? And people would show what they're doing. And I would just critique their Facebook ads and help them give them feedback on what they could do better. So that was like the early stages. And that's how we built relationships with our clients. Cause every Thursday we would go live for an hour and eventually we made a Facebook group around it. And then people in our Facebook group would begin to see the free value that we were providing. And that's how we started kind of getting those early clients through cold outreach. It wasn't trying to sell them anything. Mm. I knew by the time we started this, I'm like, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just trying to invite you and talk to you and understand your problems. So we just called it the Power Hour Marketing Workshop for Dance Studios. And sometimes we get one person to show up. Sometimes we got 10. And over time, we had our repeats, like people who loved hanging out with us. And then they would invite their friends, like, hey, talk to these guys. They're really good with the marketing stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how we built like our early like community.
No, and I love that. And I remember us talking about that briefly when you started to do that. And again, I just love the being different, because a lot of folks are like, oh, I'm going to send out 1,000 cold emails, and they're writing a paragraph long. They don't know, like they're trying to sell the product on like the first email. And I'm like, these people don't even know you. So I do like the power hour because they get in front of you. And that's a cool idea too of like, hey, show your current Facebook ad. Let's talk through it. And now people that have never seen you are like, oh, this is in action, tangible, you know?
Yeah. They loved it. We realized the flip because we followed the Russell Brunson webinar scripts, and it was one, their first like true official, like Russell Brunson style webinar. We got to the end of it and we were like, what do you think of the information? Everyone's like, yeah, it was great. We're like, okay, well, we have a Q&A. How can we help? And this one person said, well, I know all this. We're like, okay. But she goes, I just want someone to tell me why mine isn't working. I'm like, all right, well, let's see what your ads look like. And that was like the aha moment we had where people just want to be told why theirs aren't working. And so that's what kind of started this marketing makeover type format where it's like, okay, cool. We have an hour, show up, show me your ad, show me your landing page, and we'll give you actionable insight on how to make it better. Mm-hmm. And people loved it. Like they ate it up. Like they're willing, people are willing to show up and talk to you knowing you're not going to sell them, but you're going to provide value for them. And I think having that giver mentality is what really contributed to building a lot of trust and just building like our own mini fan base at the very beginning of this business.
Yeah. And I think letting people know too, like, listen, we have a business, like we do have these services that can help you, but you show up here, I'm not going to try to sell you. I just want to help you. If you want to work in the future, great. I think a lot of people do it incorrectly where they're like almost trying to hide that they're going to sell something. And then they spring it on you later on, like lead with that and just be like, yeah, we have a business. We're trying to do this, but we don't care. We want to help you out. And if you work with us, great. If not, no hard feelings. And people respect the hell out of that. You know, it's like,
great. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do.
Here's where I want to go next, because folks listening in, and I'm curious too, like, okay, I want to start an agency. This sounds cool. Where do I start? Like anything you've learned from this journey, like if you were to point folks in a direction or two of like, hey, these are two or three things to really consider. You might not do exactly because they're not going to have your business, but like things to consider on starting a business. It could be an agency. Maybe it's something similar.
So not just specific, but just broadly like starting a business idea.
Yeah. That... Like what would be some things if you were starting again today, what would you do now knowing what you know now? Where it took you 8 years to figure it out?
That's a good question. A couple things come to mind. One of them, so two things. Actually, I have two things that I see because I talk with, you know, a lot of other agency owners. I have a lot of other friends who are very creative, whether it's through graphic design, photo, video, and they're kind of struggling to build a business around it. One, I think having a niche is so important to have a viable business because it takes so much brain power to go, like, I'm going to put my video production hat back on. It takes so much brain power to go spend a week, make a video for a nonprofit gala fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, all of a sudden you're talking with some medical director at a med spa trying to make a medical video. Like it requires so much brain power to understand different business models. And you're going to be burning a ton of energy helping too many different types of businesses. Like I realized how fatiguing that was. So if you like specialize and say, hey, I'm the videographer for preschool daycare centers, and you then become an insider in their industry. And that's like the second thing. Like if you already are an insider in an industry, whether it's like sports, whether it's through like passions, you can speak to the insider language. For us, we were outsiders to the dance industry. Mm-hmm. A big reason why that first year we probably didn't make any money is because who's going to hire two white guys who don't dance to do their dance studio marketing? So we had to learn so much around. It took us that a year pretty much to learn the language and the rhythm of a dance studio business that then we can show up with a new prospect and be like, I know exactly what problems you are. And I'm going to tell them to you, like I'm reading your mind. And they're like, oh my gosh, you get me.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit of that. Like if you're unsure where to go, take a look at what you're already interested in your life. Like I know I have a friend that I just met a few weeks ago. He was he grew up in the martial arts, and now he has a martial arts website agency because he knows the world. So that's kind of something that you can look for. And then I think too, a niche, it doesn't have to be in an industry, but it can also be in like a product or the way you service something. So like, instead of like one example of a niche is based on industry. So like child daycare centers, or another niche could be like a repeatable service, like editing Instagram reels, because any industry needs that. But then you have a product of something that you can fulfill again and again. And that will allow you to create your systems and do the same work without having to do that mental gymnastics of context switching. So those would be like the two things I wish I knew earlier on. And all the business gurus say you got to niche down. There's niches in the riches. It took me 7 to 8 years to realize what that meant. And once I did it, I sure wish I took that to heart a lot sooner.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of folks, and I probably struggled with this too, you think you're missing out on business. If you go, if I don't go too broad, like, oh my God, there's not enough. But like even you, dance studios, that's it. There's plenty of business there. There's plenty of, you know, there's plenty of things you can do.
Yeah.
So I think that's it comes out. You mentioned we were talking about sales. Like, I think that's a big thing from a sales side. Imagine you're doing the med spa and then you're doing the, you know, whatever other businesses like random down the road. How do you sell to them? Like, how do you do any outreach? Because your story, like what value they care about is different than the other person. So I think knowing, like to your point with the dance, it's like, no, we know the three or four problem areas. We know them in like so deeply that we can talk about them passionately and share case studies and stories and all this stuff because we're now an insider. Mm-hmm. And now you start getting trust and you get trusted when you come to these events, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's spot on. It helps. It really does. And I think you have to make, like as a creative, I think you have to make a very hard personal decision on the life you want to live and what you want this career to be, you know, because to choose this passion of a niche, I also had to give up kind of this creative fun that you get from taking on a brand new client, getting to learn a lot, creating something new. There's a fun factor and an excitement factor to that. But you kind of have to almost give that up and stake for a business that you can systematize and it can become, you know, a real thing that can create a career and a life for you. And now we're employing six other people and two of them are studio owners. And like, it's just, I never expected that we could offer jobs to people in this industry. And it's becoming a really special thing now. And it's just surprising me in so many ways. The opportunity that opened once we like committed to a niche in our endeavors.
Well, let's talk about that. You made a mention kind of on the personal side, because we led with this in the conversation about how you know, that first day after leaving, you were able to wake up and you kind of felt free. But, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming at that point, then you didn't really know like what it meant. To like, if someone asked you, like, what does success look like or what's going to make you happy? You kind of couldn't answer as much as you maybe do now. Do you think about that of like, this is why I want to structure the business because it helps me do this in my life? Like, how often do you think about, quote unquote, what is success for you or what makes you happy?
It's a lot more clear now. But yeah, at the very beginning, I had no idea. I'm like, I just want to make cool videos and work with cool people. And I didn't have an end game. But I think if that's what you're asking, like, you know, if I'm more intentional around what I want to accomplish and what I want this business to serve for my life, then yeah, that is a whole lot more clear because we build a business to serve us, not the other way around. Like, yes, we provide services and get compensated for it, but ultimately I wanted to do this for myself. You know, big, scary, ambitious things to like retire early, get back that freedom of time, be able to travel and like have a job that I can work from anywhere. Now that's becoming a lot more clear for me and what I want this vehicle to provide for my life and for others. I still think I'm probably trying to figure that out because for a while it was like, I just want to be able to pay my bills.
Right.
And now I've gotten there and there's more coming in that I can now actually like realistically start planning for the next big things in my life and what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the reason I brought that up, because I think that in a lot of conversations I have, and I think about this a lot, is you have to make choices. Like if you're thinking of actually starting your own business, leaving a corporate job or whatever, or pivoting in your own business and doing something different. But if you're like, as an example, if your thing is like, oh, I want to have flexibility and to be able to do what I want, and then you have to be on site with clients 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, because that's how you set up your, well, that you're not, you know, your flexibility is going to,
yeah.
So it's like, whatever, you deciding what you actually want and then setting up the business to achieve that. And I think a lot of people don't do that early on. They just say, I want to start a business without thinking about the repercussions of doing it incorrectly.
Yeah. And I think you kind of have to go through that trial and errors, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And I didn't, you know, when I got into video production, I realized how physically limited I am to film, even filming, because it's a physical act of picking up gear, packing it, traveling on site to somewhere. And I'm like, oh, if I'm charging this much per day, if I did this 7 days a week, I am not going to make enough for myself at the end of the year. So that's a big problem to have. So I'm like, how do I, even in those early stages, I'm like, how do I set it up where I'm on site, you know, maybe twice a month, and whatever I'm doing on site, that pays for, like, it's just enough to live off of. Now in our dance motion marketing, you know, at the early stages, we went on site and on site, and then we would start realizing, oh, a client in Indiana wants to work with us, a client in Ohio, we live in Chicago, they can't afford to fly us out. So it kind of forced us to, how can we help them even from a remote location? And we've abandoned, we don't do any more video production at all. Like, I haven't picked up a camera or done any videos in like over 2 years, because we realized that will be a severe limitation if we want to have this thing grow. Like, we can't, I don't want to spend my life flying around, going in person to all these studios to do their video. A, I don't, that's not fun for me. And B, they wouldn't be able to afford that anyway. So we have to change the way we service our business to achieve, to allow for this to happen.
What are some other ways you're that you can share, I guess, ways that you're thinking of evolving the business over time? Because obviously you started with the video production, and now, you know, the marketing side,
yeah,
Facebook ads. Where are you at now? Where are you going?
So this is timely question, because my business partner and I were just together in Miami for an agency intensive, and we answered this question for ourselves. So we have our 5-year goal. We want to have, like, there's really three big pillars. One of them is just the digital marketing arm. We want to be the full service for any dance studio digital marketing needs. So, like, right now it's Facebook ads, but we want to do content creation, social media management, SEO, Google ads. We want to build that out. We're going to have, like, probably a website arm as well. So we'll do dance studio specific websites. And then third piece is education. We love our community. We love teaching people. So we're probably going to be having our own conferences. We've already done our own in-person client retreats. So we see, like, 5 years from today, we're going to have our own conferences where, well, we call it the unconference. We don't want to sell things to people. We just want to help them implement marketing into their own businesses. So that's really, like, the three big pillars that we see ourselves going from here.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. I love the education arm too, because it's a way to give back, but also get people together. You know, when you get people together, there's not only ideas for them, but again, that referral network that people start talking, and, you know, that expands from there. So yeah.
Yep.
I love that.
Exactly.
Any other, I guess, what kind of, from final thoughts, questions, insights, anything you'd share around getting started for folks? It could be on the mental side, physical, whatever. Anything you'd share to kind of wrap up our conversation?
Yeah, it's going to sound cliche, but honestly, just get started. Like, that's what I love about the name of your podcast. You're never going to be ready 100%. You never will be. And I think there's the thing that's been true for me from day one, since leaving my corporate job to today. Even feeling like I have a real business and I have a team that's doing everything, there's still so many things that show up in my day to day where I'm like, I gotta start that. And it's usually like a fear that gets in the way, or a limiting belief. That's like, if I were to summarize my whole journey, regardless of the business or strategy tactics, it's finding more ways to get out of your own way. Mm-hmm. And I've personally found, by just doing the thing, is the only real advice I like have for myself, is like, you just got to do it. Oh, you're scared of it? Do it. Because until you break through and I build the habit of just diving in, doesn't matter how cold the water, like, I'm a swimmer. Doesn't matter how cold the water is. There's always gonna be that little sting at the beginning, but then it dissipates and you're fine. So that's really, this whole journey of business building has just been a lot really big personal growth at the end of the day. And I just encourage everyone who's willing to do it is to lean in, and the fear will always be there no matter how big or what level you get at. It's just a matter of how you relate with it, and learning to move forward with that fear, because it's not going to go away.
And it's not going to be as bad, most likely.
And it won't be as bad.
Right?
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And it usually isn't. Sometimes, every now and then, it's like, ouch. But you know not to do it again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. So dancemotionmarketing.com website. Where do you hang out online? Where are you spending time these days?
Facebook. That's where our clients are, and that's where we are. So we're on Facebook heavily.
Okay, awesome. Dude, this is a lot of fun. I'm glad to catch up with you again, and hopefully we'll get together when you come out in July. So thanks again for sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, thank you, and hope this is helpful for someone who's on their journey for building their own business too.
Hey everyone, and just one more quick thing before you head off on your day. If you're enjoying this podcast and are looking for other resources and tools to help you get started and move forward toward a happier and more fulfilling life, then I'd encourage you to head over to my website, brianandraco.com, and hit the subscribe button in the upper right corner. There you can find my newsletter and blog subscriptions, where I share insights and information around getting unstuck, perspective, mindset, relationships, habits, and much more. If you get a chance to sign up, I hope you enjoy. Thanks again for listening in, and have a phenomenal day.